Please open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and our text will begin at verse 28. Mark, chapter 10, beginning at verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. It is not unusual in life to find ourselves in situations in which we ask the question, what's in it for me? Perhaps we have been asked to do some difficult or expensive favor for another person. Perhaps we've been asked to take on some task beyond the ordinary. Perhaps we have been required to make some kind of sacrifice or a cause or an objective. In our humanness, it is difficult for us not in those situations to have this question coursing through our minds, okay, but what's in it for me? Jesus so well knew human nature. He knew that most of us do not like to be put in a position in which we are called upon to give something without getting something in return. So he would say, if ye love them that love ye, what reward have ye? Or he would say, if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? He knew human nature. And he knew that in our human nature, it would be difficult for us to serve in the kingdom, be kingdom citizens, still possess of that human nature. He knew that our human nature works against kingdom life and kingdom service. So Peter makes an observation. He sees this young ruler of whom we have read in earlier lessons, and he comes to Jesus with the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus says, keep the commandments, all these I've done from my youth up, he says. So then Jesus says, okay, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor and follow me. Peter had heard this young man receive from the Lord an invitation to follow him. But that wasn't all that Peter heard. That wasn't all that he saw. Because he saw this young man reject the invitation that he had been given. He saw him go away grieved, for he had much possessions. Now, against all of that, Peter, in his mind, is thinking in terms of his own situation. So out of his mouth comes these words, we have left all and followed thee. Compare us to this young man. He didn't leave anything. He didn't follow you. We have. And indeed, If we read in Matthew's gospel in the 4th chapter, we discover that this was indeed exactly the case, beginning at verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me. Very same invitation the rich young ruler had heard. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they, now here's the comparison, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. There's the invitation, follow me. And so Peter and his companions did exactly that. They left their nets, they left their livelihoods, they left their homes, they left their families, and followed Jesus in committed discipleship. There is a passage over in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 14 at verse 33, and I'd like you to listen to it. I'd like you to consider it. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If you do not forsake everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. What is it that you possess that is of greater importance to you than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. Have your material things, have your relationships encroached negatively into your relationship with Jesus? Into your discipleship. We may be faced at some point in our lives with a situation in which we have got to make this kind of choice. We're going to have to weigh between the things we have, the relationships we enjoy, and our relationship to the Lord, and are we going to be able to make the choice between the two? If you do not forsake everything you have, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus says. Well, all of this is going on, doubtless to say, in the mind of the Apostle Peter. And I'd like you to look at Matthew's account of this incident of which we have been reading. In chapter 19, at verse 27, Mark's gospel simply reminds us that Peter said, we have left all and followed thee. But Matthew's gospel adds that Peter asked the question. And here it is. What shall we have therefore? In other words, what's in it for me? We have left everything to follow you. We've done exactly what was taught there in Luke's gospel, chapter 14 and verse 33. We have forsaken everything to be your disciple. What's in it for us? Undoubtedly, the Apostle Peter is still thinking of this rich young man, comparing himself and his situation to that of the rich young man. The rich young man rejected the invitation. Peter did not. So what's in it for me, Lord? So Jesus begins to answer the question. And he answers it, indicating that there are blessings for us, but yes, there are also going to be some difficulties for us. And if you're in Mark's gospel, in that text we have read, you will notice that the answer of the Lord begins, no man that hath left, and he goes on and talks about these things, and then over there a little bit further is this expression, with persecution. So the first thing I'd like you to notice here in the text is that what the Lord says here is not just for the apostles. What the Lord is teaching here pertains to anyone who would be a disciple of His. No man, doesn't say no apostle, no disciple, no man that has left these things to follow me is not going to be blessed to do so, but will have persecutions. So, where are our priorities? What are our priorities? That's the issue, really, before us tonight. And then we would ask, okay, are our priorities our real estate? Are our priorities our jobs, our material possessions, our things, our families, our pleasures? Go back to Luke's Gospel, that same 14th chapter, and read a little bit earlier in the chapter, beginning at verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have an excuse. His real estate meant more to him than did his relationship with the Lord. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have an excuse. His things meant more to him than his relationship with the Lord. And another said simply, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. His relationship meant more to him than his relationship to the Lord. But you see, as I said a while ago, we are going to find ourselves at some point in our lives at which we are going to be confronted with the same kinds of choices of which we're reading here in Scripture. And how will we choose? In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we hear some words from the Apostle Paul. And they are these. But what things were counted to me gain, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He had to make the choice. And he made it. And he said, all of these things that I've enjoyed, all of this power, all of this position, doesn't really mean anything to me when compared to my relationship to the Lord. So let me begin to read, and the last part of verse 8, and continue to read a little ways. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. But you go back, and right there in the middle of all that is that expression, that I might win Christ. Priorities. How do you look at the things that you have? How do you look at the relationships you enjoy? In what way are they impacting, negatively perhaps, you're following the Lord Jesus Christ? And then in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 10, there are some very familiar words of our Lord Jesus Christ. As familiar as they still are a little bit stunning. Beginning of verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He loves father or mother more than me. Son or daughter more than me. Those words are the key to what's being discussed here. It all comes down to priorities. What do you love more than Jesus? The rich young ruler. What do you love more than Jesus? I love my things. I love my possessions. I'm not willing to sell and give to the poor, not to follow Jesus. I keep the law. I won't injure anybody, but I'm not going to help anyone. You see, that's the issue. Priority. So what in this life, what interest do we have that we would not be willing to lay aside in favor of Christ? Our interests must be laid aside in favor of Christ. But Jesus continues here. Even as he begins to imply something about persecution, he continues to say, I've got a promise for you. Go back with me now to Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. And let's read what it is that the Lord says. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the Gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now here's the good news, folks. Peter is asking, what's in it for me? And Jesus says, Peter, there is something in it for you. But he doesn't just say it to Peter. He says, no man that has done these things. That includes you and me. What's in it for me? There is something in it for you. Now, I want to be sure that I say it is not the health and wealth idea that is being espoused by so many televangelists and in so many of the light little reading books that you might find in many of the bookstores, promising health and wealth if you do certain things. That's not what Jesus said. Not at all. But what he is promising here is a very much larger family and many more treasures than ever we've had before. And he says that it is a now in this time. Verse 30, now in this time promise. I was fortunate to have been reared in a faithful Christian family. I had a faithful mother, a faithful father. I was not put in the position of having to make literally the choice between the Lord and mom and dad. There were times, I'm sure, when choices that I made would not have been the choices they made. For example, when Joyce and I announced to Mom and Dad that we were planning to move to Australia. Mom was not happy about that because I don't think they cared about us. So they were worried about her grandchildren. And I think if she had said, you just leave the grandchildren here, you all go, it would have been fine. But see, we made a choice, which probably wasn't the choice they'd have made, but I never had to renounce my relationship with Mom and Dad. I never had to leave them, abandon them, because I was a Christian. I was so fortunate. And yet, with all that said, I do have a great many relatives, even a sister, with whom I have so little in common except a blood relationship. But here's the thing. In Christ, I have so many siblings. I have so many children. I have such great treasure. It is absolutely amazing all that I have in Christ. And I think it's all a part of this promise that our Lord has made to Peter and the rest of the apostles and to you and me. This promise of all of these hundredfold things. I'm not even sure what percentage that is. I've heard various descriptions of it, but I can tell you this. I wish that at the credit union I could t- take my money over to Joe, and he would say, and I'm going to return in a year's time 100-fold what you have put into the credit union. That's not going to happen, is it? But I wish it would. That's a bunch. In Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. Now look at this amazing answer of the Lord. He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. My question to you tonight is this exactly what it is that Jesus is saying to Peter over there in Mark 10? Peter, you may have left siblings, you may have left mother and father, you may have left a job. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you who your real brothers and sisters are. They're people that hear the word of God and do it. What a blessing that is. But then there are two more important things the Lord says. And we come back to this with persecutions expression there in Mark 10. The Lord does not gloss over this potential. He doesn't gloss over this possible reality about following Him. Now, I'll tell you what, it's true, folks, it's true. Following Jesus in a committed discipleship has its blessings. It's been proven over and over again. There's some who may mock the idea, but I promise you it's true. You commit to following Christ, you live a convicted life, and there are blessings which accrue to you because of that decision. Yet, this is what the Lord wants us to know. There may be some days when you're going to face some difficulties and have some problems that are unique to the fact that you are committed Christian people. Now, everybody gets sick. I've had the flu, you've had the flu. We all have our maladies, whatever they may be. Some of us have problems balancing our checkbooks because we don't have enough money to stretch over a month. Whatever the issue, those are things that are common to all of us, whether we are Christians or not. But there are some things that are going to happen in the life of a committed Christian person. There are some choices you're going to have to make. There may be choices involving relationships or entertainment or whatever. But those things are going to be difficult. They're going to be problematic. And they may bring to you what is called persecution. But those things are momentary when compared to the blessings we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus says, and in the life to come, eternal life. Isn't that, my friends, what it's all about? Isn't it that to which we look? Isn't that our objective? This rich young ruler made such a terrible choice, an unwise choice, forfeiting the potential for eternal life, the very thing that he sought from the Lord. It's possible, though, that some of us are making the very same unwise choice, preferring to live as worldly people, wearing the name Christian, wanting to be sure that our names are in the church directory, having our feelings hurt if we're neglected, but all that said, not living like you should, not living as committed, convicted Christian people. And we are no more wise than was the rich young man. As this little vignette concludes in Mark 10, Jesus says something about what I call significance. Verse 31, many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Lest any disciple believe that he is more privileged than others because of the sacrifices that he has made. Lest any disciple be puffed up because of the role he is privileged to play in the kingdom of God. Jesus makes this simple little statement. Many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Our significance, my friends, is not in our works. It's not in our roles. It's not in our sacrifices. Our significance is in our saying humbly, I am not important, but Christ and the gospel are. My significance is in one place. It's not in the fact that I'm a preacher. It's not in the fact that I'm a father or a husband or a friend. My significance is in the fact of my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only significance that I have. What's in it for me? Everything that means anything. We often sing a song that has in it the line, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, reckless sea. That's the call of Jesus. It's a call to rise above life as it is being lived by so many, to be given the calm and peace that passes understanding. Jesus calls us. How will you answer? We're going to sing the invitation song, which was announced a while ago. If there's anyone in this assembly who can use the opportunity of the singing of the song to come and let us know the needs that you have, then we want you to know you're welcome to come, and we'd love to assist you. But the words of Jesus are ringing in my ears. Follow me. And I'm listening for the answer. Will you come as we stand, as we sing?